week. Pastor Kobus shared a bit about obedience. Okay.
And he asked this question, and it quite stuck with me, and maybe I can just, as for interesting sake, say this, that this is a message that God has placed on my heart for quite some time, but funny enough, I until last week, I haven't had a title for this message. Okay, as funny as it may sound, I really didn't have a title until Kobus' message, and I just knew that this message is really just hooking into Kobus' message. And I realized that Kobus, at some stage, Kobus said, he asked this question in the beginning. He said, "Who are you?" Okay, who are you? I don't know if you can remember that. And then he spoke about obedience, and at some point he said, he was speaking about we are called by God. Okay, we are called by God. And then he carried on, and then at the end he asked this question: who does God say you are? Okay, who does God say you are? And so this message, the heart of this message, is really around the call that God has got on your life, but not just on us as individuals, but also on the church and on Shofar Brackenfell as well. But we cannot look into this message if we don't start where Kobus has stopped last week. We need to understand that we can hear this message, and it can move us, it can mean something to us, but if we are not prepared, and if we are not at that point, at that stage where we can take this word and receive it as a word from God and step out into obedience, we cannot obey this. This message will not really mean anything to us. So we need to take God's word and take it seriously and do something with it. Okay. So I just want to just say that as a starting point. Now, let's look closer to the call that God has got on our lives. And I'm basically, there's a couple of points that I will be highlighting today, and it's really a hammering just a few points in so that it will really sit in your heart and that we will not lose it. And it's just dealing with a couple of questions. The first question will just be, it's not on the slides, it's just, are we all called by God? Are we all called by God? I don't know if you've ever wondered about that. Are you called by God? Even for those that is not even part of a church, that is not really following God like they should. Maybe you're listening to this message, you're not even saved. You haven't come to that place where you received Christ as your Lord and Savior. But so this question is even for you. Are you called by God? Is there a calling on your life? The second question will be, what are we called for? Okay, what are we called for? Why did God call us? And then will we struggle along the way? Okay, will we struggle along the way? Will it be easy? And then the last question, and this is the one that I will probably stand still the most on, is what will be the greatest challenge? What will be the greatest challenge? Okay, so back to the first question. I just want to say before I start that the heart of this message really is, I don't know if you, some of you will remember, especially the intercessors, but we speak a lot about it, and even in the sermons, we touch on that a lot, is the promises and the prophetic call that God has placed on us as a church, okay, as a church group. But we know, and you will know, that each one has got an individual call from God. And some of you might think, but I've actually heard someone has prophesied over my life. Okay. I was in high school and God gave me a word that I'm called for greater things. That was when I was very young, but there was a call on my life. Okay, so this is the heart of this message is really to come back to that call. Okay? So let's start. Are we all called? 2 Timothy 1, from verse 8 to 9. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the time began. I'm just going to run through a couple of scriptures just to hammer this point in, that we are all called. Romans 8, 20, 28, we all know this one. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Just a short one, 1 Corinthians 7, verse 17. But as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk. Matthew 28, verse 17 to 20. This is probably my favorite one. Listen to this. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the ages. Amen. Now, just if you look carefully to this specific scripture, what's interesting is, why did the writer even mention that there was people doubting? Jesus came here, they were worshiping, but there was people there doubting. Okay. Now, Jesus didn't call the disciples and said, okay, guys, you come here quickly. I want to share the last major call on your life. I want to share that with you today. So quickly come here. You followed me, and I know you. I can trust you with this. Come and listen. And then someone else comes closer and said, no, you are part of the crowd. You are doubting. Okay, you go. No. He spoke to the whole crowd. He said to everyone there, he said, go therefore. And it's not like a small little call that he placed on them. No, go and make disciples of all the nations. That can't happen just by 12 people. Okay? So the call is really for all of us. See, you might be ignorant of the fact that you are called. You might have never heard of this thing. Okay, maybe am I called? You probably have never thought of this, that there's a calling on your life. You might doubt, like these guys, that God wants to use you, that God wants to use you in his kingdom. Maybe you think, you know what, I'm a bit crooked and skew, and you know, I'm a bit average and this and that. And I look at other people's and I think, yeah, maybe God can't use me, okay? So you never even think that it's possible for God to use you. Or maybe you're just old, a little bit sick. Maybe you're listening to this message and you're tired and you think, you know what, I've done my part when I was younger. It's now other guys' turn. I will just hand over the baton and I will just cruise from here on until the end and just have life easy. Maybe you walk in this, you've walked in the call of God. You know that there's a call on your life. You walk in it, but you grew tired. You know, it's not easy. Okay, it's not easy to walk in the call that God has for your life. And so you came to a point where you just quit and said, you know what, I've had enough. This is it. Maybe you listen to this message. You know that there's a call on your life, but at some point in your life you've walked away from that and you are living in the world, not thinking, not even not even thinking of the fact that God has called you, but the pleasures of the world and just the comfort of the world is just keeping you there. You're not willing to sacrifice that and to follow Jesus with everything in you. Maybe you've heard. Maybe along the way you got hurt. Maybe even in church you got hurt. Someone disappointed you. You took offense. And you walked away from the call of God. Maybe you thought that you can leave and just go to another congregation. And there I can start fresh from scratch all over again. No one will know. And I can just see God's call on my life there. See, this doesn't change. The way you think doesn't change the fact that you are called by God, that there is a calling on your life. Jeremiah 1 verse 5 says it so beautiful. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. This is God speaking. Before you were born, I sanctified you. This is God speaking to Jeremiah, but we know that God is no respecter of persons, meaning there's no partiality with God. If he says it to Jeremiah, he's saying it to us, believers today. He's saying to every born-again believer, he's saying that to us. And he's even calling those that is in the world and saying to you, even you has got a call in your life. But he's saying here that he knew you, even in the womb. Before you were born, I sanctified you. God sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. I want to say to you this morning that yes, the answer is yes. Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what you think, even if you deny this fact, you are called by God. Okay, next question. What are we called for? What are we called for? Now, there's a lot that we can place in this space. Okay, there's a lot that we can say about this, and I think there has been a lot said already. But I just want to emphasize one point that God just illuminated to me over these last couple of months, and that is quite simple. It is just that God has called us to become a blessing. God has called you to be a blessing. Now, it's very important to understand that, although it sounds quite simple, I will explain to you later why this is so important. We will look closer at Joseph's life, explaining this more in more detail. But for now, I just want to go to Genesis 12, verse 2. It says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. Zechariah 8, verse 13 says, And it shall come to pass that just as you were a curse among the nations, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so I will save you, and you shall be a blessing. Isn't that amazing? So, let's look at Joseph's life. Okay, we've talked a lot about Joseph, and I think what always stands out about Joseph is those 13 years that he carried on just being faithful and just carried on through hard times. We spend a lot of time on that, and that is so powerful and so true. But let's look deeper. There's no time to explain everything now. You need to read the story for yourself to fill in the gaps. So I'm just going to skip a few parts. But here's the thing. Joseph was 17 years old. Okay? 17 years old when he received the dreams. Okay? And the mistake that he made, and you know, I don't know, this might sound familiar to you, is the moment he received the word from God, he was so excited about it, and actually, his brothers was a bit on his case, and so he thought, okay, this is a nice one. God is saying this. They will bow down to me. So I'm just going to just show this little fact to them, and just to, and it backfired terribly. Okay. So, okay. So here's the thing. He received a call, but I don't know if you've realized this, but when you receive a prophecy about your life or a call or a word from God, God hardly ever give us the whole picture. Okay, we don't receive all the details just like that at once. God will show you a little piece, and then to get your direction right, to steer you in the right direction, to steer you in your call, but that's it. That's it. Now you need to be faithful from here on. And so God showed him this picture that one day your brothers will bow down before you. But the heart of God, you need to understand who God is in this story. The heart of God was not just for him to be in a place of power where his brothers can just bow down to him. That's not God's heart. God's heart ultimately was to make of Joseph a blessing. Okay, that was God's heart. He wanted Joseph to be a blessing. Okay, so you received that word, and this is so interesting that the moment you receive a word, opposition will come. Okay, I'm not going to spend time on that. We all know that. The moment you start to move in that direction, opposition will come. But I want to show you through Scripture just how God made of Joseph a blessing. Okay, so for those that are not familiar with the story, his brothers didn't like what he dreamed, and they threw him in a pit. They sold him out as a slave to Egypt, and then every time he tried to do the right thing, things just backfire. I'm not going to go into detail. You know about Potiphar's wife and all that. And then eventually, after 13 years, he came to the place where God started to slowly show him glimpses of his call. He's starting to see the light. He's actually starting to see this. And then the Pharaoh appointed him, and he was raised up, and God used him mightily. But I want to just fast forward to the place where Joseph, eventually where his brothers came to him. Okay, so I'm just going to pick it up at Genesis 45 from verse 4 and onwards. The first point that I want to show you is that he was made a blessing to his brothers first. Okay, although they did everything to him, God's heart was for him to be a blessing to his brothers. And so from verse 4, and Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come near to me." So they came near. Then he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into slavery into Egypt. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years, the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me, but God, and He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt." Now that's the part that we forget. We look at Joseph's life. We look at how he was, how he received this amazing word of God. And then we look at his life and how he just persevered through everything. And this amazing call that his brothers will bow down. But the heart of it is that God preserved him to become a blessing, to preserve life, to in a certain sense become a savior one day for his brothers. Okay. The second one was a blessing to his parents. From verse 9. Hurry and go to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near to me. Now his poor father was for 22 years in this place of total agony. His son died. He lived with that pain in his heart for all these years. And yet Joseph is calling him, saying, come back. Now you're going to be with me. You know, it's almost like I don't do justice to the story. I really need to read this whole thing. Every time I read it, I kind of just start to weep. It's just such an amazing story of just what God's heart is for the people. You know, it's after all that they've done. The third point is he was meant to be a blessing to the generations. The verse carried on, and you shall be near to me, you and your children and your children's children. So he was even further than that. He was meant to be a blessing to the generations after that. But then also to be a provider to them. It just carries on from there. Your flocks and your herds and all that you have, there I will provide for you, lest you and your household and all that you have come to poverty, for there are still 5 years of famine. So God used him to even provide for them in the future. But there's a much deeper revelation that we need to understand from this. And that is God's heart for Joseph was not just to stop there. But if you think about it, the 12 tribes of Israel was coming from those 12 brothers. And God really, when he called Joseph, when he was 17, he gave him a call for his life. That call was really to preserve God's people a few years down the line. It was really much deeper. There's a much deeper call on our lives than we think. When you receive a word from God, when you receive a prophecy about your life, that's not just, it's a part of it. You only see a little small part of it. And you might think that call is maybe a bit insignificant, maybe small. But you need to understand that there's a much bigger call that we are called for, and it is forming part of a bigger call. You see, we sometimes get so caught up in our own calling, if I can put it that way, that we forget that God has placed us in a family. He has given everyone else also a call, and we are coming together. And then God uses this church to become a blessing to the area where we live in, or our city, or the nations out there. So we need to understand that your call is not just something small. It is to accomplish a much greater call that God has for the Church of Christ in the world. Amen? Okay. But now this is difficult. It's difficult to walk in the call of God for your life. And this is brings me to the next question. Will we have struggle during this call? Okay. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, because we all know that if you haven't experienced trouble, it's probably because you and the devil and the world is heading in the same direction. Okay? The moment you start to turn around and walk in the call that God has for your life, you will face opposition. Okay? If you flow downstream, there's nothing. But the moment you turn around, there's all sorts of things that is just floating downstream and will eat you. Okay, so we know that. I'm not going to spend too much time on that. That's a pattern that we see all through Scripture. Every mighty man of God, every woman of God that did something for God, at some point had to turn around and walk against everything else, against the world, against everything that is the normal, if I can put it that way, in the world sense. And that will receive opposition. Spoke to one of my colleagues a week or two ago, and he said to me, "Nas, it's the strangest thing. When I was just in the world, it was just like, no, it was okay. I didn't really had any problems or not serious. They came and be gone, and it's not a problem. But all of a sudden, the moment when I turned my life towards God, the moment I heard that God has got a call on my life, and I started to pursue that." And I turned back to God. The moment I did that, it was like everything, it seems like everything is just going contrary to this word. Okay, so I laughed at him and said, yeah, welcome to the club. That is true. Even Jesus said that in this world you will have trouble, but he has overcome the world. Okay, so don't want to stand still there too long. Now, even the church, okay, we received the word from God that the harvest is ready. We need to bring in the harvest. Okay. We received word from God that we need to make space for the harvest. Okay. We need to expand. God is giving us more territory. He's giving us the harvest to bring in. But we need to make space. Okay. Thank you, Lord, for that word. Now let's move in that direction. The moment we start to move in that direction, things started to happen. Things went wrong. Okay, we went for the first for a venue, and there was complications. Okay, so why is that? When we think that the people heard wrong or what went wrong there? No. We're living in a world where everything else will go against the word of God. Okay, and that's exactly what happened there. God had a call on this church to expand, to make space. We moved in the direction, boom. That will happen. Again, 13 years for Joseph. It was 13 years for him before he was appointed by Pharaoh. Now, please God, may we not wait for 13 years. Okay, we can talk a lot about that one. Don't want to stand still there. I want to really get to the last question. And now the message is really starting, actually. What will be the greatest challenge? What will be the greatest challenge? Maybe before I start this, just look at someone and say that you are called by God. Okay. All right. As with Joseph, God gave me also a very specific prophecy. Okay, a couple of years back, confirmed it every now and then. I knew that there was a very specific call that God wants to steer me into. It's a very personal, it's a very personal thing for me. But I believe that God took me through this and prepare me for this, and specifically to bring this message today. And I believe the time is right for us to hear this. And before I start this, before I share this question that God asked me, I just want to remind us that this is to realign our focus, to realign our calling. Okay. So God gave me this specific question. He asked me, Nas, will you be faithful? Will you be faithful to the call to the call that I have on your life when the increase comes? Okay, God has promised us. Let me use the church first. God has promised the church. He has prophesied over us that we need to expand. We need to make space for there's a harvest coming. Okay, we've heard that so many times over and over and over. So we know that something is coming. And this is exciting. Okay, this is even the word that God has given me was also a word in the same lines that he is about to bring increase. Okay, but the question he wants to ask me was, are you ready to receive? Will you stay faithful to the call that I have on your life when good times comes? When Pharaoh appointed Joseph, will you stay faithful? And yeah, this kind of shocked me a little. Okay, I was taken back about it because it's a question that I really can't answer. I don't know myself that well to know that I will. I mean, it's, if you think about it, let me take Joseph as an example again. He was 17 years old when he received the call of God in his life. Okay, at 30 years he was appointed by Pharaoh. 7 years of good, of prosperity, where there was abundance. In then 2 years of famine when his brothers came to him. Okay, that gives me a total, since Pharaoh appointed him, it gives you a total of 9 years before he saw his brothers. So for Joseph, since he was called, there was 9 years of a good life, okay, where he actually stepped into the calling. He could for the first time in 13 years see that God, I can see your call is coming. I can see light at the end of the tunnel. Okay, there's something happening here. Now, if you think about it, Joseph had, when he was still in hardship and he had all sorts of trouble, it was kind of easy to stay with God. Okay, it's not, you know, it's not always easy. We know it's troubled times, but if you stand with your back against the wall and you've got nowhere to go, then even unbelievers will come to a place where they say, you know what, God, maybe I must just pray and come back to you. Maybe I must just turn to you. Lord, help. Lord, I'm in need. I'm in desperate need of you. Okay, and so, and this is something interesting, just that I always thought of is, for the most of my life, I was always in a place, just from one struggle to the next. So there wasn't really a gap in between. So it was like, I wonder what will happen if I don't have something to pray for, if I don't have something to ask of God. Lord, help me here. Lord, help me there. Lord, I'm on my knees before you. And what will happen if God really starts to bless me in such a way that there is no other need, really? And so for Joseph, he was constantly in this struggle. And then you can almost say he didn't really have a choice but to turn to God. Okay, and to stay faithful, because there was nothing else. He was in jail. He was, you know, not walking in that purpose. But now, after he's been appointed by Pharaoh, he's got power. Now he's got all sorts of opportunities. You know, he can now make his call come to pass. He can fetch his brothers and bring them to him and make them bow down before him. He could make his call come to pass. But for 9 years, he was just faithfully walking in what God has called him to do. So that was really the question that I had to answer, and I couldn't answer God for that. And maybe let me just read this scripture, 2 Samuel 12, verse 1 to 2. Okay, before I read that, let me just paint a little picture here. David was a great man of God. I think you will all agree, David was, he was really a mighty man of God. Okay, he was. First of all, God blessed him abundantly. Okay, he also had his trouble in the beginning, but he was such a blessing to God and to the people. He had abundance. He was really a prosperous man. He had the biggest army in the world at the time, and there was just no problem. I mean, he He had everything that that you could imagine to have. In fact, his relationship with God was amazing. He was called a man after God's heart, after God's own heart. He had a very intimate relationship with God. Okay, so just to paint that picture of David. And then, but I want us to look at David's life of what happened when we do not go as Joseph did, and we tend to lose our focus. So it happened in the spring of the year, at the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David remained in Jerusalem. Okay, let me just pause there. Okay, first of all, a king is called for a couple of things. Okay, he is appointed. He is called to lead his country. A king brings security to a country. Okay, so he will go into battle and make sure that they are not just secure, but that they are continuously growing. They are taking new ground. They are expanding. They are continuously growing. But we see here that David in this instance, it's like he's got so much, he doesn't really have to go. You know, he even sends his second in charge, he sent Joab to go out and the servants. He sent all Israel, all the men. He sent everyone just to the battlefield. But he's staying at home. He's not doing what kings are called to do, as we read here. At the times when kings go out to battle, David was at home. But then the second verse is just amazing. Then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed. Okay, I'm going to just pause there. Okay, I don't know if you catch that. One evening he arose. That meant that he was sleeping the whole day. Okay? So he was really doing nothing. He had everything. There's no need to work. There's no need to do anything. He was just relaxing. Okay? And so he was alone and he was walked on the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold. Isn't that amazing? The moment we take our eyes off of the call that God has on our lives, we tend to be vulnerable to temptation. Isn't that amazing? So instead of us trying not to look at the temptation, the best way would actually be just not to be on the roof in the middle of the day when kings are at war, but actually just to walk in the call that God has for our lives. Then you won't be in that place of vulnerability. Maybe you listen to this message and you think, why am I struggling so much? Why am I struggling to overcome sin? Why am I struggling to overcome this temptation? I keep ask for forgiveness and try my best not to go there, but tomorrow I fall again. Maybe it's because you're not walking in the call that God has for your life. It's 2 Samuel 12 from verse 1 to 2. Then Nathan said to David, "You are the man." Okay, let me just explain this quickly. Don't have time to read everything. But Nathan came to, after this whole thing and David sinned, Nathan came to David and he said to him, "Listen, what will you do if a rich man comes and he... if there's a poor man with a little lamb and he loved that lamb so much, and there's someone that's coming to visit the rich man, and he comes there and he needs a lamb, and the rich man goes to the poor man, he takes his little lamb that he loves so much and he slaughtered that lamb, what will you do?" And then David jumped up and he he said, no, that man must die, and that. And then Nathan came to him and said, you are that man. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel. Now, please hear God's heart in this. Okay, it's very easy to be condemned by this word. But I want you to hear God's heart behind it. Just as we said earlier, it's God's heart for you to be a blessing. In order for you to be a blessing, you need to be blessed. Okay? We need to be blessed. And God blesses us in order to make of us a blessing. It's God's heart. Okay. So, I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wife into your keeping, and gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I also would have given you much more. Why have you despised the commandments of the Lord to do evil in his sight? You have killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword. You have taken his wife to be your wife, and have killed him with the sword of the people of Ammon. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me. It's interesting that through that whole thing, it was a terrible crime to commit murder, to commit adultery, and to try and cover it up. But the thing that was really hurting in the sense was the relationship between David and God. And he said, you have despised me. You have hurt me. And this after I've blessed you so much. I've given you everything, and I would have given you more. You see, there's a call on your life. Whether you know it or not, whether you choose to ignore it or not, there's a call on your life. And you are blessed to be a blessing. Can I ask you a straight question today? Can I ask you, are you so blessed and comfortable that you lost your focus of the call of God in your life? There's a fulfillment in life that cannot be met without walking in the call that God has for your life. There's a fulfillment that we can't meet. There will be an emptiness as long as you walk in your own ways. But the moment we step into the plans and the call of God for our lives, you will start to experience fulfillment. And yes, there will be things coming against that word, for sure. But if we stay faithful, that's the only fulfillment that you will really get. Maybe you listen to this message and you haven't even received Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you think about this and you think, you know what, I don't think God has got a call on my life. I want to say to you, God has got a call on your life. He's calling you out for deeper things, for greater things. Okay, so after I spent some time with this, I had to come to a place where I humbled myself and said, Lord, I think I missed it a little bit. I think I became a little bit comfortable. I started, just to come back to my personal testimony, it's like God started to show me glimpses of the prophecy, the call that he has on my life. I started to see some of that coming through. And then this question came, and I had to say, Lord, I think that I might fail. So I had to come to this place where I humbled myself. But you see, this is the exciting part of it. You need to understand God's heart. He wants he's got a great call on our life, great blessings. He has called this church for great things. He's called us to walk in the fullness of Christ, Jesus came so that we can have life and life in abundance. And to bring that to a world that is also struggling. So Shofar Brackenfell, you are called to be a lighthouse. And I want us, there's not time, but I want us really to go back and look at the promises that God has got on this church. The prophecies that God gave us. Even for you personally, what are the call of God on your life? Go back to that. Revisit that. Ask God, Lord, give me more. Show me, what have you called me to do? God has called you not just to suffer and to receive a little blessing here and now and then and every now and then. He has called you to become a blessing. In order for that, you must be blessed. And I want to say to you this morning that time is now coming where God will bless his people, where God will bless his church and make of him a blessing to the nations. And that's really the heart behind this message, is to prepare us, to make us ready, so that we will be ready when the harvest comes in and when God really brings in your life the increase, that you will be ready to stay faithful to the call that God has on your life. Amen. God has called us to be a lighthouse. He's called this church to be a greenhouse. He has called us to set the captives free. He has called us to bring in a great harvest. There's so many prophecies. What has God called you for? And will you stay faithful when the increase comes? Because believe me, it is close. God showed me a picture a couple of days back when we prayed that, I think it was during a small group. I saw us standing in water, but this little ankle deep water, and it's like we just there enjoying this little water, kick it a little bit and so on. And then I felt like God is calling us, and he's saying, come, I want you to go deeper. I want you to, there's more for you in store, but your focus is there. Your focus is down there. It's looking and playing with this water and kicking it, and your focus is there. I want to realign your focus. I want to realign your focus back to the call that God has on your life. Come deeper. There's much more. There's a harvest coming in. Are you ready? This is exciting times. I know it's a hard word. I cannot apologize for this word, because it's such important message, such an important message. We have to hear this if we are going to take in a harvest. Amen? Okay. Awesome. So I want us really, even those at home, just to take a moment and just to spend a few minutes in God's presence, just praying, just asking God, what are the call on your life? And if you have received a call, if you've received a prophecy, just examine your own heart and just ask yourself this question. If the increase come, will you stay faithful?